Shukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, replied, Karmana, by fruit of activities, karma nirharaha, counteraction of fruit of activities, na, not, he, indeed, adyantikaha, final, ishyate, becomes possible, avidvat, adhikaritvat, from being without knowledge, prayasjitam, real atonement, vimarshanam, full knowledge. Translation, Shukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasa, the Veda Vyasa, answered, my dear king, since acts meant to neutralize impious actions are also fruitive, they will not release one from the tendency to act fruitively. Persons who subject themselves to the rules and regulations of atonement are not at all intelligent. Indeed, they are in the mode of darkness. Unless one is freed from the mode of ignorance, trying to counteract one action through another is useless because this will not uproot one's desires. Thus, even though one superficially may seem pious, he will undoubtedly be prone to act impiously. Therefore, real atonement is enlightenment and perfect knowledge, Vedanta, by which one understands the supreme absolute truth. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Guru, Shukadeva Goswami, has examined Parikshit Maharaj, and it appears that the king has passed one phase of the examination by rejecting the process of atonement because it involves fruitive activities. Now Shukadeva Goswami is suggesting the platform of speculative knowledge progressing from karma kanda to jnana kanda. He is proposing prayaschitam vimarshanam. Real atonement is full knowledge. Vimarshana refers to the cultivation of speculative knowledge. In Bhagavad Gita, karmis who are lacking in knowledge are compared to asses. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, text 15, Namam duskritino mudha prapajante narada maha mayaya pritya mayaya parita jnana asuram bhavam ashritaha. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. Thus, karmis who engage in sinful acts and who do not know the true objective of life are called mudhas, asses. Vimarshanam, however, is also explained in Bhagavad Gita in the 15th chapter, text 15, where Krishna says, Vedais cha savara ham eva vedyaha. The purpose of Vedic study is to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one studies Vedanta but merely advances somewhat in speculative knowledge and does not understand the Supreme Lord, one remains the same mudha. As stated in Bhagavad Gita in the 7th chapter, text 19, one attains real knowledge when one understands Krishna and surrenders unto him bahunam janmanam ante ganavam mam prapajyate. To become learned and free from material contamination, therefore, one should try to understand Krishna, for thus one is immediately liberated from all pious and impious activities and their reactions. So, Sri Bhadarayana Yeruvacha Karmana Karma Niraro Nyayat Ayat Yantika Ishite Avidvad Adhikaritvad Prayaschitam Vimarshanam. All right, so Om Agada Timidanda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So this particular statement of Shukadeva Goswami is taking place in the beginning of the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Maharaj Parikshit has just heard about all the hells from the fifth canto. And there's actually a few of the hells are described, but there's like 33 million hells. It's an unbelievable amount of hells. It's not just, not that all of them are described in the fifth canto. So Maharaj Parikshit, instead of just being very happy, saying, oh, look at those karmis suffering in hell, what does he do? He feels compassion. That is a natural Vaishnava mood. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches, there are two aspects by which we can judge our advancement in devotional service. One is called Namaruchi, and the other one is called Jivadoy. Right? Namaruchi, of course, means taste for the Nam, for the holy names. Kirtan, Japa, taste. Taste means, that's Ruchi. Taste means you have some bhava, bhav. You want to send some emotion for the holy name. And then Jivadoy means compassion for the Jiva souls, for all the living entities. Because Vasudev Dat was the foremost in that regard. He was ready to go to hell so that everybody could go back to Godhead. Prabhupada said he was the most compassionate person. He was compassion personified, even more compassionate than Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ was ready to suffer the sins of his disciples, but Vasudev Dat was ready to suffer the sins of everybody. It's a little bit different. So, Parikshit Maharaj, after hearing about these different tortures, he says to Shukadeva Goswami, how can one be relieved from these sinful reactions? And Shukadeva Goswami here, he wants to test his disciple, so he gives him the wrong answer, which is interesting. So generally, the guru always speaks the right thing. But sometimes the guru, in order to see if the disciple has understood things, will give him the wrong answer. It's interesting, isn't it? How the guru can sometimes do that. Just to see whether someone knows the truth. And also to see if someone's determined. Like one time there was one disciple of Prabhupada who went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I want to take sannyas. And Prabhupada said, you should get married. So Prabhupada was testing him. And then the next day he came with some young girl and said, Prabhupada, I want your blessings for my marriage. So Prabhupada was testing him. If he had said, no, Prabhupada, I want to be sannyasi. I don't want to get entangled. Then Prabhupada would have given him sannyasi. So Prabhupada tests. Sometimes the guru would test like that. Just like you go to school, there's so many tests you take. I mean, that's normal. Normal. Is this right or wrong? You know, sometimes there's a test, and so it says in the test something, do you agree with this or you disagree with it? Is it right or wrong? So here, Maharaj Parikshit disagreed with what Shukadev Goswami said. He said, look, it's not going to work, this atonement, because Shukadev Goswami first presented atonement as the solution. Atonement means basically you do something really difficult, like you stand on your toes for like 100 years. That's one type of atonement. Or you go outside in New Orleans here and you don't wear a jacket or anything like that just because you did something wrong in the deity worship the last day. So you just run around naked in New Orleans to atone for your mistakes. Or sometimes people, in the modern day and age, we find sometimes with the Indian community, they atone by, they feel bad, they give a donation to the temple. Isn't it? They've done something bad. All right, here, atonement. Here, atonement. But Parikshit Maharaj said this is like Kundra Sochavat, which means it's like the bathing of an elephant. That is, an elephant, he takes a bath and then he gets out of the water and then he rubs dirt on himself. I mean, there's a reason for that. Actually, there's a reason, because the dirt helps clean them. But anyway, that's a different thing. That's been studied. But anyway, so it's like that. He gets dirty right after he does something to atone for that dirt. No reason. The reason that a person gets dirty or a person commits the same activity even after atoning for it is because he has in his heart two things. One is called the papa bij, that means the seed of sin. And also the other one is called the kuta, the inclination towards sin. There's two things. This is actually elaborately described by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He gives a whole chain of events. He says, first you have a kuta. Kuta means like an inclination to do sinful activities. It's just an inclination. It's not anything specific. The inclination is not focused on any specific activity. And then after that, you get the bij, or the seed of doing something sinful. The seed, it's interesting, the seed of doing something specifically sinful usually comes from bad association. Let's say, all right, let's give the example. Let's say someone has this kuto, the inclination towards doing bad things. Then he goes and associates with people who drink liquor. Guess what happens? That their association, karanam guna sangasha, sadasa janma jonishu, by their association he becomes inclined to drink liquor. Or if he associates with people who smoke marijuana, just like right now, it's becoming legal in many places to have marijuana. Did you know this? It's becoming legal in some of the states in the United States. In fact, I was in the airplane reading something. They're going to have vending machines. You know what a vending machine is? A vending machine is a machine like you have in the airport. You put some money in and the soda comes out of the machine.
Yeah.
So they're going to have vending machines for marijuana.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That you put in, $5 or something, or you swipe your credit card, and out comes whatever. I don't know whether it'll be cigarettes or cookies, marijuana cookies, or something like that. So the point is, by association, you desire to do specific things. Kuta is not specific. Kuta is just an inclination. Just like you'll hear the story later on about Ajamil. Because he had the kuta, then by association and seeing the low-class shooter embracing the prostitute, then his mind became affected. Because the kuta was there, then the bija acted. And then once the bija acts, then you perform the activity. The vikarma, it's called vikarma at that point. That means activities that cause you a negative reaction. And then once you have the vikarma, then you get the parabdha karma. You know, in other words, the karma that's just built into the body. Anyway, and you get reactions. So this is a chain of events that all come from the kuta. You understand? Until you eliminate the kuta and the bij, you're not going to eliminate your sinful reactions. So the kuta and the bija come from an arthas. This is described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the Mathurya Kadambini, which is translated literally as a cloud bank of nectar. That's how they translate it. Anyway, it's actually more literally, it's like the sweetness, the cloud sweetness, the sweet cloud. Anyway, whatever it is. So we have these anarthas. Anartha means the things you don't want. Artha means things you want. Anartha means the things you don't want, like kama, krodha, amada, matsarya, varya, vaya. Means lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, all these things like that, right? And all these things, the source of all those things is the ahankara. Ahankara means false ego, I and mine. As long as you're thinking something can be yours or you're important, then you can have anarthas or the unwanted things. So the whole principle of giving up the false ego, which is the source, the root of all these problems, is not jnana, as mentioned here by Shukadeva Goswami, who is further testing Pariksit Maharaj. But the way to do that is to deal with the false ego instead of understanding that everything could be yours. You want more and more, like the demons inscribed in the Gita. He is my enemy, I've conquered him. I want more and more and more. But understanding that everything belongs to Krishna. As Prabhupada said, it is commentary in the Isopanishad, was it? Isha Basha Idam Sarvam Yatkancha Jagacham Jagat Tena Chiktena Bunjidha Madgudha Kosisvid Dinam. That everything is owned by and controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And one is given a quota, that means you're, let's say you're working for someone, you're given something to use. Let's say you're working for a taxi cab company, because that's very applicable here. Because everybody here is a taxi, not everybody. Biram's not a taxi driver, right? You don't drive taxis. But let's say you're working for a company. It's not your own car. Then you have to use the company car for driving the taxi. There may be a restriction that says you cannot use for personal use. You can only use for the use of the company to make money. Yeah, just like recently in Delhi, there was this whole attack where they took this bus, you know, this little bus, and they used it to attack. They used it improperly. Of course, there was a big crime too, because it actually belonged to a company. They actually did it improperly, or they hijacked. Another thing is people hijack cars sometimes, right? You ever heard? Do they have that in New Orleans where people hijack cars? No. Certain places in the United States, in certain dangerous areas, you drive in your car. Well, actually, in South Africa, more so. You drive in your car, and you stop at the light, and someone pulls out a gun and says, "Get out." And he takes your car away, and probably your wife, too. He takes your car and your wife away. Because nowadays, people are happy to get rid of their wife. But anyway, so that happens. It's called hijacking. So Krishna has given us things, and we're trying to hijack it for ourselves. Take it for ourselves. So when we understand that everything belongs to Krishna, everything's meant to be utilized for Krishna, and then you get rid of the I and mine, and you understand also that you're just an insignificant servant of Krishna. You know, you're not going to be something prominent. Even if you are something prominent in this life, just like I was with one Bollywood star, Vivek Oberoi, and he is very prominent in this life. He was, at that point, he had a mustache he had grown for some film, and all the women were around him looking at him and going, "Ooh," like they do in Bengal, isn't it? It's funny. Only in Bengal they do that, I think.
Yeah.
So, and he was twisting his mustache, and he's thinking, "I'm so prominent, I'm in the middle, all these women, they love me." But 20, 30 years ago, from now, he'll look like a prune.
Yeah.
You understand? Prune is like a plum that's all shriveled up. And then 50 years from now, he'll be dead. So whatever opulence he has belongs to Krishna. It's not him. What do you have to be proud of? What do you have to be proud of? Nothing. Nirmana moha jita sangha dosha. I mean, you have nothing to be proud of. Lord Chaitanya says, Amanina jai shishi radha radha kanta gornatai jagannath baladev subhadra gijat. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadhari. So, if one takes up devotional service and understands that Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna is the proprietor, Bhaktaram Jagatapasam, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, Suridam Sarva Bhutanam Yatvamam Shantim Richati, then he can get rid of the anarthas by practicing bhakti. Anartha Nivritti Shat. That is the only way to become free from sin. Otherwise, you can't become free from committing sins, and you can't even counteract the sins that you've committed already. Like that story of King Riga. He made one sin by mistake. You know, a cow was given twice to two different brahmanas. One sin by mistake. But he couldn't counteract it with millions of other cows being given away to other brahmanas. Millions and millions of other pious activities. He couldn't counteract that one little mistake. It was just a mistake. It wasn't even, practically speaking, it wasn't even a vikarma. It was just an error he made, an honest mistake that he made. I mean, anybody could have made that mistake. That's the karmakanja practice, actually. You can make a mistake and then you're held liable for it, even though it was a mistake. You didn't even know. And so he committed so many pious activities, but that didn't counteract the impious activity. And as a result, he had to become a lizard in a well. Of course, later on, he got the benediction of being saved by Krishna. Krishna pulled him out of the well. So anyway, so we are not interested in this atonement process. I remember in the religion that I was brought up in, they actually had a day of atonement every year. The word in Hebrew is Yom Kippur. which means the Day of Atonement. So one day you fast. You understand? And then you say to God in that one day, I'm sorry for all that I did this day. The whole year, you know, actually it's once a year. I'm sorry, please forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me. It doesn't work like that. Or the Christians, they get even more sophisticated with their atonement processes. They torture themselves. I don't know if any of you saw this movie, Da Vinci Code. Anyone see the movie? No. They had one Christian who engaged in self-flagellation. Self-flagellation means they whip themselves. They whip themselves. I mean, it's horrible. They actually take chains or something and they go whip, whip, and they're bleeding. And the Muslims even have that too. The Shiite Muslims also do the same thing. They take the swords and they cut each other. You ever seen that?
Yeah.
In India, they do that sometimes?
Yeah.
It's very prominent.
Yeah,
the Shiite Muslims actually cut each other to atone for their sins. And many religions have like processes of atonement, but we do not accept that. Like, of course, we have austerities, but they're not for atonement. We have a codicil, but that's to dedicate ourselves to Krishna, not to atone for our sins. You know, you could look at a codicil in a negative way, and that's very bad, and say, well, we have to follow a codicil because we're so sinful. But the reason we follow a codicil is to bring us closer to Krishna. It's not a negative day, it's a positive day. You know, we give up something so we can be more focused on Krishna's names and Krishna's pastimes. Okay. So any questions or comments? Because we have a lot to do today.
Yeah.
But questions, comments? So we have a big program.
Yeah, we have a big program.
And they're preparing prasadam for everybody?
Yeah.
Big feast. Yeah. Big feast for all our congregation. All right. All glories to the divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Radha Radhakanta ki jai.